Hey guys, this is Joe, founder and host of StartupRadio.io. As you guys may already know, I've run this podcast full-time since January 2021. I'm very happy to announce that Anchor FM is my sponsor for this podcast. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free and it's easy to use, even for a newbie. They're creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, we bring you another special bonus episode covering a change in the German legal frame for institutional funds. This sounds a little bit boring at first, but it may have big implications for the crypto markets. But to make this much more entertaining, this special episode, I brought you a lawyer. Hey, welcome, Marco. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Yeah. Thanks for the introduction, John.
Well, if it comes to lawyers, you're one of the more entertaining guys.
Thanks for that.
You're very welcome. Can you please introduce yourself a little bit to our audience? Keep in mind that more than half of the people are just listening to this podcast and not actually watching it on YouTube.
Yeah, happy to do so. Yeah, I'm Marco. I'm a regulatory lawyer with EY Law, and which is the law company or the law firm of EY. And I'm a partner and with a strong focus on the asset management industry and fintech as well. And in this regard, of course, I'm looking at current developments in the regulatory field and advising startups, fintechs, and also institutional investors, banks, financial service institutions, etc., and also investors with regards, for example, to investments in crypto assets and the structuring of investment funds, what we also want to talk about today.
Yes, and basically, the curiosity, basically, this special episode was sparked by a lot of posts, blog posts I've been reading in the last few weeks and months, because there was an announcement Germany is going to have a new asset management investment law, however you want to call it, which regulates all the legal structures of funds. And the reason this made such a big wave is that there is a few little sentences in there that permit German institutional funds to invest in cryptocurrencies. This law will come into effect on August 2nd, 2021. And actually, we're here and we're talking for the very simple reason, because I do believe it's completely overstated what is to be expected of German institutional investors investing in the crypto space. I just have one here by decrypt.co. Damn huge. Germany opens up to institutional crypto funds. And when I read this, I've been a consultant in asset management for almost a decade, and it instantly gave my brain some error messages for the very simple reason because German investors are not very known to have a big risk appetite. we may add that most of the money in those institutional funds, and I'm just basing this on the Kapitalmarkt statistic, meaning an official statistics of the German Central Bank, and they had at this point 1.8 trillion euros, meaning somewhere above 2.1 trillion US dollars in asset under management, and that was as end of April 2021. It's the last available statistics to us at the time of the recording. And actually, you just also had the same like gut feeling this wouldn't be big. But let us first go a little bit through what is actually happening, what is changing, and then I come with my argumentation why this actually doesn't change really a lot.
Well, hopefully you read some of my posts as well in this regard. Well, in general, there's quite a strong movement at the moment in Germany when it comes to, well, electronic securities, crypto securities and crypto assets. And in the wake of this overall legislation, we do see a lot of new business opportunities and development of a new market infrastructure. And now we had a change in the German so-called capital investment code, which is the German Act, which deals primarily with investment funds. And they introduced, as you already pointed out, a kind of maximum threshold where a typical type of fund, a so-called special fund, may invest in crypto assets. So really, we are talking here about crypto assets like Bitcoin, and we're not talking about tokenized securities, meaning electronic securities. As a side note, we introduced the Electronic Securities Act in Germany as well, which is going to enter into force as well, and where electronic securities can be issued, for example, on the blockchain. But that's a totally different story. And the question to what extent an investment fund may invest in this electronic securities is rather a question, with regard to the securities. But when we're talking about crypto assets, these are crypto assets like the Bitcoin, which, from my point of view, has become a completely new asset class in the field of asset management. So that being said, of course, all the market participants, meaning banks, other financial institutions, investment companies, in particular the fund industry, they are looking for new opportunities to develop and structure and to establish investment funds which are investing into crypto assets in this context. And one really important fund form is a so-called special fund. And sorry, being a lawyer, I have to mention a section. So this is section 284 in the German Capital Investment Code. And this this particular fund, according to section 284, this is a fund which typically is owned or invested in by institutional investors, such as German insurance companies, pension funds, and which is a bit more, sorry for the German word here, which is more a German thing, the so-called Versorgungswerke, which is kind of a pension fund organization as well, and which are subject to different regulatory layer. And this is one important aspect we have to consider here. We have two layers of regulations which apply. We have, on the one hand, we've got the fund layer, so all the regulations which apply to an investment company and the investment fund. And then we have the layer above, which means there are regulations which apply to the investor. So when the investor wants to invest in the fund, it has to ensure that its investment meets certain criteria. For example, if it's an insurance company, they have to adhere to the so-called principle of rentability, profitability, or the principle of security, and the principle of liquidity. So when they look at an investment, they take these general principles in general into account, right? And from that angle, it's quite a novelty that the German legislator introduced that specific crypto asset threshold in the context of that particular special fund, right? So this is something new, and since these 284 funds are held by institutional investors, they, and that's where many people think the money will come from. So these special funds are held by institutional investors, and therefore they've got quite a, yeah, some sort of power, and they've got a lot of liquidity where they are able to invest in these potentially in the crypto assets. And then people start just calculating it through by stating, okay, how many billions are of assets under management do we have in these particular sort of investment fund? And they said, okay, these funds are permitted to invest up to 20% of their net asset value into crypto assets. And then under the assumption that they will do so, they said, okay, this will open up a huge market, and the whole thing will go mental, and everybody's going to invest into these crypto assets nowadays, right? In particular, these funds. So I think this is sounds promising, but I think the overall reality looks different. That's for sure. What you have to keep in mind is in the past we do have some sort of funds in Germany, which are a kind of general special funds. Different section in the German investment code, right? Some kind of general special funds, which are open-ended. We do have hedge funds as well, which are similar to those, nearly the same. And of course, we've got some sort of special fund all for institutional investors, because, for example, hedge funds may not be acquired by natural persons in Germany, so only suitable for professional, semi-professional investors. And we have closed-ended funds, which may invest in assets of any kind. And these three types of funds I mentioned were able to invest into crypto assets in the past already. And I have to admit, I don't know any fund which did so. There have been, most recently, as pointed out, we've got kind of introduced as a licensable banking business in Germany the crypto asset custody, and there are others to follow. We introduced crypto assets in the German Banking Act as well, and in other laws as well. So there's a strong movement in this regard. But when it comes to the setting up the investment funds, where you've got the institutional investors with the big firepower in back, I haven't seen a lot so far. I don't want to be a spoiler here, but we are kind of still at the beginning.
I may add, we've been talking about this law about tokenizing securities. We had Professor Philip Sandner as an interview guest last year in September already, who's been talking about that. That was one of the things you've been referring to. And the special funds, I would just translate them to institutional funds in Germany, just for simplification. I know I'm not a lawyer. I can do that, but you can't. You have to be precise. Basically, the idea was at the beginning, you have retail funds. They're specially protected. All the retail investors can go in, and you have the institutional funds. Basically, all institutional investors can go in. That's most of the time something like banks, insurance companies, all the usual investors, but a big share of institutional investment is coming from very conservative entities, especially public entities like parts of the German retirement system are public, as well as insurance companies. I just had one example for the risk aversity of those funds. Germany's central retirement scheme paid 355 million euros in negative interest rate to keep their money save in bank accounts instead of investing them with over 5 years. And of those institutional fund assets in Germany, I found that 74% are denominated in euros, meaning they don't have even the risk of currencies moving against each other. For example, you invest in US dollars, the price in US dollars goes up, but the value of US dollars goes down compared to euro. And then you end up still having less money. That's called FX, foreign exchange risk, FX risk. Now I get it. And that's basically what they eliminated for almost 75%. And I also saw that only 17.3% of the total equities are actually invested directly. So that means 70.3% of the total assets of the 1.8 trillion are invested in equities directly. And they have much more than 50% in fixed income investment. So that just shows you how risk averse those investors are. And when they calculate several hundreds of billions getting into cryptocurrencies, I actually never bought it. And that's why we make this, recording. But I was sure you had something to add, right?
Of course. Well, you're definitely having a point here. And even if you are less risk averse as an institutional investor, still there remains a question, how is the investment company, and now we're talking about the lower level again, how's the investment company dealing with their internal risk management processes? Of course, if you invest in Bitcoin, you can't apply your regular risk management systems, which you applied to securities in the past, because the volatility of the DAX, for example, is by far less than, for example, the volatility of Bitcoin, just to give to name our standard example here. And I think this makes it really difficult, because you have to have a different systems in place, which have to be developed, and you have to think about it, how you're going to adapt and adjust your internal systems. And it's not only the risk management we're looking at, it's the overall infrastructure as well. To a certain extent, if you're setting up an investment fund, you usually have a depository. The depository takes care of the assets of the fund. So while we introduced this as a new banking business in Germany, which requires a license. But still, if you have a depository, that depository has to have the infrastructure as well to safe keep the crypto assets, which makes the whole situation more complex, because we do not have the market infrastructure yet. We don't have the interoperability between the investment company and the custodian / depository, and probably the investors as well. So there are a lot of companies working on financial service participants who are working on this and trying to find solutions in all different areas. But I do not see that there's a massive movement at the moment that literally every single institutional investor wants to invest into crypto assets. I think in the moment it's still a bit more like a sandbox or playground where the people try to test what's possible, where's the whole thing developing. I think it's a good time to start thinking about participating in the infrastructure, to gain some knowledge in the infrastructure, to set up your own systems, to search for a cooperation partner, because the next couple of years there will be a strong move towards that direction. But this is at the moment more the infrastructure, not necessarily the investment side, right? And for example, to give you another example, a German investment company has set up an investment fund, which was set up just for institutional investors. and they had chosen a different approach. So they don't really have a license as an asset manager in this context. They just have a kind of a registered investment company. So under the alternative investment funds, the European Alternative Investment Funds Manager Directive, you're able to register yourself as an investment company if you're managing only 500 million assets under management, if you're not using leverage. If you're using leverage, it's only 100 million. So they said, oh, we are going to set up a separate entity, which is setting up a crypto assets fund, which shall be filled by institutional investors. And that shows that the overall infrastructure isn't there, because in these particular circumstances, you don't need a custodian or a depository. But they're trying to set it they set it up similar to that and trying to mirror the standard structures here. But as you pointed out, many of the funds even use hedging instruments to hedge any sort of currency exposure in the funds, which will be difficult with regards to any sort of crypto assets, right? So what would we like to hedge here? Would we like to hedge Bitcoin with Ether? it's not working like that. So you have to have a completely different approach, and you have to you must not be risk averse, and your systems have to be adjusted completely different. So I rather expect that some institution investors may think about investing on really small scale just to try it and to test it, whether this would be a new upcoming asset class. And it was quite funny because most recently I had a discussion with a lawyer from a conservative investment company, and he said, honestly, I'm not a big fan of all these crypto assets which some sort of billionaires are able to manipulate by any sort of Twitter account or something like that. And I think he was having a point there, and which shows that they're not ready yet, because they don't know how to handle it and how to control, for example, volatility, and from a risk management perspective, right? You have to be have some sort of endurance.
Basically, what you meant is that there will be investments, but very small amounts. So do say I, and there is lack of infrastructure, meaning a safekeeping entity. You have to keep in mind a securities custody comes from the time when you had like paper-based securities.
Right.
And you had to have someone with a big vault and you lock it up there. And that's still the same thought process. So you need somebody with a digital vault to keep your securities safe. And that is not here yet, even though there are some interesting startups. For example, we'll link down here in the show notes Tangany from Munich, with whom we did an interview, who are providing this type of crypto deposit, crypto custody solution. And you also made the point that in order to have institutional investors, you need to hedge the risk, meaning work with the derivatives in order to minimize the direction the currency goes, which is negative for you. So there need to be a more liquid cryptocurrency derivatives market, meaning options, futures, swaps, and stuff like this, that institutional investors can actually hedge. Nonetheless, I think I have an approximation that we both believe there will be some very small investment. It will be, in my personal opinion, far below even half a billion, even though some people talked about like tens or hundreds of billions, which will swarm the crypto markets. actually do believe it will be far below even half a billion. Just to give you one example, hedge funds are around in Germany, I do believe, since 2008, 2009, and so far only 0.26%. So meaning a little bit over 5 billion are actually invested in hedge funds here in Germany, which of course we are only focused on the institutional investors investing here within Germany. There are institutional investors investing abroad as well. That is all not covered, but just to give you a general idea what we're talking about here. So I think it's a lot of money there, and the legal rules have been changed for the institutional funds. But what has not changed is first the environment, meaning the safekeeping, meaning the derivatives market. And secondly, the regulation on the level of the institutional investors, because that will also have to change before there can be any type of big investments. And again, we don't expect any big investment if this changes as well. Maybe a few years down the road, we will have something like 5 million on the same level as hedge fund investments for cryptocurrencies here. Would you agree, or you think even lower?
I rather agree with you. Let me put it that way.
It's easier.
It's easier. No, it's but I think at the moment it's just happy guessing. And I think it's quite certain that we're not going to see that all of these institutional funds are going to invest straight away 20% of their assets under management into crypto assets, because this is really a complex asset class. I kind of believe in that asset class. I think it's in the process of establishing itself, and since we're talking about it, it shows that the overall economy started thinking about it, and everybody kind of is into that market infrastructure now. Thinks about how is this going to develop, which direction is it evolving, and so this is definitely also a new asset class. As for example, gold. Of course, you can always state, okay, gold is something which is physical, which I can I can at least produce a nice ring out of it. But at the end of the day, it seems that all these crypto assets, or even only some particular or specific certain crypto assets, will be accepted as a currency by people. Mm-hmm. So you kind of believe in that value. And to that extent, here we do see the establishment of a complete new asset class, which of course requires complete new market infrastructure. But I think it's the early beginning, and say never, but at the moment I don't see that big market, because volatility is by far too strong. And I might want to mention one more thing here as well. The German regulator, the BaFin, they mentioned that you can also have public mutual funds, meaning retail funds for everybody, which invest indirectly into crypto assets. So you may have the exposure of crypto assets in a public mutual fund, in a retail fund, but this is dealt with kind of derivatives, ETCs. Whatever, which is in general possible. And of course, these funds have to look at risk management processes as well. And so far, I haven't seen or wasn't approached yet by any client who is asking to establish a retail fund which has the exposure of crypto assets. But because I think it's the volatility is just too big, and it's hard, the prognosis is it's really hard to do and to estimate in which direction is the whole thing going to. And that makes it so difficult. I believe in that asset class. Now it's there and things developing. But as long as the volatility of these products is more stable, I think we are only going to see minor investments in those funds, or be it indirect investment in crypto assets via a fund or direct investments in crypto assets.
Yeah, me too. Again, this is not to bash cryptocurrencies. This is not just at all. To give a real sense of regulation that nobody expects the crypto portfolio to go up like crazy because German institutional investors are going to invest. This is not the case. They may nonetheless go upwards like crazy, but it will most likely have nothing to do with German institutional funds. Marco?
Yeah.
It was a pleasure having you here. We are already running at approximately 30 minutes recording time here, which is quite uncommon for us, especially for such a short bonus episode. Everybody who'd like to learn more, they can go down here in the show notes. There will be a link to your LinkedIn profile, Marco, as well as mine, as well as something like a blog post I wrote, which was the inspiration for this interview. And of course, I do believe we'll have you back for some other topics related to crypto, cryptocurrencies, fintechs, or something else.
Yeah. Was a pleasure, Joe. Thanks very much for the invitation and talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is StartupRad.io, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to StartupRad.io podcast, or check for the StartupRad.io internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the StartupRad.io skill as well.